Ne ke bona Kgosi Mandela a no tsheha fela.
Honorable members, sorry, guests and colleagues, we are trying to connect some of the members. They are struggling to connect. The meeting is going to start soon.
Albi? Albertina, Miss Kakaza? Mam Kakaza? Mamu Kakaza?
Yes, Mosh?
My Pali meeting, Tom.
I've got only 5 members.
Yes, Naikoramkan. Huh?
We need 6.
6?
Yes.
5 + 1. Okay, 5 + 1. Okay. We need 6. Oh, okay. Let me call you, Albie.
And we are only 5 now. Mabriad, good morning.
Morning, Honorable Masipa. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Yourself. Must say Honorable Briad.
I'm glad you are doing good.
You hear...
How is Mpopo this morning?
You hear makeup says, hey, the debate was very good yesterday. I think she missed the debate.
Tammy muddied the waters yesterday. She was so stubborn continuing to muddy the waters, but I loved it. The debate was wow yesterday.
I don't see it as me muddying the water. I was only telling the truth.
No, they're muddying the water because people keep on raising point of orders. You go back to the same thing.
Sometimes you need to give the EFF some of their own medicine.
Hey, and they don't like that medicine, eh?
No, they don't. They don't. But that is why we're here, to keep them on their toes.
Hey. No, Ellis Mook, no, Ellis Flat, no.
Hey.
Like my sewer.
Oh, hi.
I think from your side you heard about how many 4 points of order, 5 points of orders.
Yes, I had a lot.
No,
and then one lot. Point of order, everybody point of order.
Hey. I thought, hey, we're going to finish 7 o'clock. You know, when those point of orders started, hey, we're going to finish 7 o'clock.
Honorable Mbatha is looking for the link. Can she be assisted with a link, Mam Kakas?
Okay, ma'am.
Mama, come right, ma. Your hand is up. I want to move to meeting. I saw you. I cannot
be there. Please, please take a pause, my love.
Yes.
Oh. You can't go home. I go home. I go to the Ergo was
Members, our guests, and the colleagues, good morning. Our chairperson, Nkosi Mandela, is not available to share this meeting today. He is having a bereavement. So according to the rules of the National Assembly, Rule 159, the committee has to elect an acting chairperson from the committee members. Can I get nominees, please, members?
My hands is up.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Patricia Matho. I'm here nominating my guest to Honorable Tlhapi to share the meeting.
Thank you, ma'am. Any seconder?
Honorable Simpiwe Mbatha, I second.
Thank you, ma'am. Any further nomination? None. Thank you very much, members. Mamun Tlhapi, can you please take your seat? Thanks.
Thanks, colleagues. Thanks, honorable members. It has been a delayed meeting because members have been struggling to log in. I'm also not in the best area where there's network, and I hope where I am for now it will suffice. Let me welcome you to today's meeting and profusely apologize. This is part of our mandate, that is rural development, that members are struggling so much with logging in, except those that has apologized. Let me welcome the acting DJ, Ntate Ramasoji, and your team from the ministry. And really appreciate your patience with us this morning. We are convening today's meeting, honorable members, to deal with just two items. That is the impact of drought in the country and the outbreak of brown locust. Members will remember that since last year, 2019, we have experienced a drought in about 7 provinces in this country that prompted the Minister of COGTA in February 2020 even to declare a national disaster on drought. Now, this does not only affect the economy, it also directly impacts on the pockets of our farmers. So we are going to get the brief of the impact and how has this affected the sector that we are leading currently. The issue of the brown locust, honorable members, is very key because we have also observed in the SADC, mainly in your East Africa, what has been ravaging this pest, plant pest ravaging parts of the SADC region. And here at home, few of this pest has been spotted in 2 or 3 provinces, and we want to be briefed by the department, the ministry today, as to the alertness, as to how are they planning around this, because the impact of climate change is resulting on this pest, and we don't want to find ourselves napping when they strike home, just like we did with the Army fall warm, for sure we will get a satisfactory briefing as to what are the plans around this pest. Having said that, without wasting time, can we then check the issues of apologies from Secretariat? Ma'am Nyamza, Ma'am Kakaza.
Thanks, Chair. I've got apologies, Chair, from Mrs. Stain is attending constituency matters. Satukere Kulu is attending party commitment. Minister and Deputy Minister Lamini, they are attending NCOP Women's Caucus. That's all from my side, Chair.
Thanks, ma'am. We also note the apology of the chair as indicated. I also received from the WIPARI a sick note from Honorable Busi Chwete. Honorable Mashazi is also on her way to Limpopo on the ad hoc committee on Section 25. Those are the apologies that we received. As we know, yes, ma'am.
I would also like to report Honorable Stein. I'm not sure if she was mentioned, but she will also not be joining us. Thank you.
Yes. They just mentioned she's got constituency work.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's not here.
Attending to. Yes. Thanks, ma'am. Can we then move, after noting these apologies, Honorable Members, to Ntate Ramasodi and his team on today's presentations. I have received an indication, Honorable Members, that some of you would also want to join their constituencies. We are noting the huge work that is on by elections that are starting with a special vote on Monday. It will depend on your appetite, this meeting. I'm all only facilitating for you to be released earlier or whatever, but that should not compromise the information that we want to receive here today. Dr. Ramasodi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Agricultural and Reform and Rural Development. There are two presentations that would be made by the department today. All of them are issues that the department is currently faced with, and all of them emanating from a crop protection point of view. And it's very important, as Chair has indicated, that as we take the presentations, we also reflect in terms of issues of climate change. With us today, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we have a team from the department that is basically dealing with climate change issues and disaster risk reduction. And we have got a team that deals here with plant health issues, both of them led by Dr. Yafta and also Dr. Khakadze. The presentations for today will be made by Dr. Khakadze. It will take us through the drought presentation, and we will await the guidance from the chair whether the chair would like to take both presentations at the same time. But they will be made by Dr. Khakadze and all the colleagues who are on the platform based on the guidance that I will be given by the chairperson, who will be responding to different aspects within the presentations that will be made today. I would now like, with your permission, Honorable Chair, to hand over to Dr. Khakadze to make the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Acting DG. Can we take one presentation at a time so that members are able to internalize the presentations and interact with it, dispose it off, and move to the next? Thanks.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, morning Acting DG, and morning members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Ikelafeng Khakadze, as the Acting DG has already raised. I'll be presenting today's presentation. I've got my colleagues that will assist throughout if ever there is a challenge with the network. Like as colleagues have raised earlier on, we have also having that challenge of the network. So I'll present throughout the today's meeting. Let me try to load the presentation. Good morning, members. I'm not sure if this can all of us be able to see the screen.
Yes, Dr. Khakadze, is visible.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I've got, as ACNDG has raised, mentioned that there are two presentations. The first one is having those 10 points, 10 or 8. One is by abbreviation and the other is introduction until the conclusion. I'll be talking to those 10 points as we have raised the issue of the challenges that the sector has faced on the drought issues as well as the pest issues. We'll take through those presentations as quick as possible. These are some of the presentation that we have already have this presentation, I think we'll see in the presentation, but those are the two ones that NEC as National Agro-Meteorological Committee. This is a committee that is normally monitoring the weather and climatic condition and advise the sector on a monthly basis. National Disaster Management Center, this is the center where we is responsible for the Disaster Management Act and the disaster risk reduction. That's what, as a sector, we're supposed to be continuously reducing the risk that the farmers are faced and cooperative, cooperative governments and traditional affairs, and LSU is the large stock unit. This has already been mentioned, not really to repeating the challenge that the country has been faced. We have been experiencing this drought since 2013-2014. I'm sure members and the colleagues are aware that during that time, most of the throughout the country, most of the provinces were affected, and that drought hasn't really gone away. We're still been experiencing that, and the most is a crop as well as the livestock, and this affects the economy as well as food security. And drought has adverse effect in both financial position, as I raised, to the farmers, to other organizations, especially dealing with business, farmers such as financial institutions, insurance companies, because they have to now have to pay some losses, inputs and machinery supplies, government as well as consumers at large. Negative effects on economic growth and increased pressure on fiscals were experienced through those years that I've raised. Though the country received some rains in some areas, provinces such as Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, they still have some hotspots that that the dry condition was experienced. In other provinces, it's not really completely clear that the drought is no more. So it's also that we are only mentioning the three here, but that the rest of the country, there are some hotspots where the dry conditions have been experienced. But with the recent rains, hope this season might be better compared to the previous ones. As the chair, the honorable chair, raised that the minister of COCTA earlier during the year declared the drought, national drought. And during that time when the declaration was being made, the country received some rains throughout. And we, from our side, that during this year, it was also better compared to those other years where we had a drought, when we received some rain. So the allocation was then based on the hotspot identified, and we were able to see that from the 9, the 6 where they really had a seat and considered that they will be the one to benefit, and 138.5 million has been available for this province to implement and assist the farmers. I'll just maybe start by trying to unpack the impact that the provinces has experienced. The Eastern Cape, the areas affected by extreme drought, they include Amatole, Sarah Batman, Chris Hani, and Joe Gabi district. The droughts across the province impact livestock, crop production, and water supply for both animals and household use. The projected financial losses to accrue from livestock production is conservatively calculated to be a value of 6.4 billion from lost productivity and loss of income during the 3-year head recovery period. The total number of farmers affected are 7,105,000. That comprises of 5,796 subsistence farmers and 802 smallholder farmers and 507 commercial farmers. The province has indicated a need for 643 million to be able to recover from the severe impact of droughts. And then we moved to the Northern Cape. The western parts of the province were severely affected, especially the winter rainfall areas due to below normal rainfall during the previous winter season. We're quite aware that the central to the eastern parts of the province has got some showers. And that's why now we're even now experiencing the locust, because they also hatch during the good rains as well as high temperatures. The summer's rainfall areas received some rains, however, it was outside the growth period. The severely affected district include Namakwa, some parts of Pisile Kaseme, and ZF Makau. The province indicated that the need for over 600 million to assist the farmers. However, only 35.6 million was allocated. This implies that it may take longer period for the province to recover from agricultural drought unless disastrous reduction measures are implemented. The other challenge is the province itself is within the dry belt of the desert from Namibia and Botswana, as well as the Karoo itself, which has been experiencing this dryness with the longer term of the implement of the implication of the climate change effect. Northern Cape, as well as the district that were considered to have been affected, categorized severely and critical. Drought still persists across the province. However, crops farmers are in the production cycle of wheat and lucerne, and this wheat and lucerne in the Northern Cape is along the Orange River. By the end of September, some areas were preparing land to plant maize at the beginning of summer season. The province is also inundated by alien tree species, which consumes a lot of water. Western Cape, it says, and it was really hardest hit, but with the recent year, so last year and this year, during the winter rainfall, some dams improved because there were some rains that were received throughout the province. Central Karoo and northern parts of the west coast were severely affected. Most hard hit are the livestock farmers in the central Karoo, west coast, Little Karoo, and Overberg district. High meat prices were experienced, affecting not only the producers but also the consumers. Limited grazing and fodder production is being experienced, especially in the central Karoo and west coast. 1,740 farmers, commercial and small scale farmers, are in need of fodder and currently receiving some assistance. The province has indicated a need of 136 million to be able to support 30,000 livestock units affected over a period of 6 months. However, due to limited funds, only 25 million was allocated for the current financial year. Mpumalanga also experienced drought conditions. 12,680 farmers were affected by the time of the assessment, with a total of 277,000 cattle and 17,000 small stock. Most of the affected farmers were those in communal or land reform projects practicing monoculture. The dry conditions over the northeastern and southeastern parts of the province are intensifying. The province expressed the overall need of 400 million to recover from the adverse impact of drought. However, due to limited resources, the department could not allocate that amount. The National Agro-Med Committee report for September indicated below normal rainfall was received in the province. Crop are in good conditions while harvesting is continuing. The field and livestock conditions range from good to poor in different districts. The field conditions reasonably and poor in other areas. The average level of major dams has slightly increased compared to last year, same time. In the Limpopo province, the province reported to have received below normal rainfall. Poor grazing conditions have been observed in the communal areas and in areas that did not receive enough rain in the previous summer and are still very dry. This includes Bembe, Mopani, and Capricorn district. The province supported farmers with fodder in previous financial year and currently implementing borehole drilling and equipping infrastructure. The condition of livestock ranges from reasonable to poor. Farmers utilizing irrigation are harvesting winter crop for local markets, while dry land farmers have harvested winter grains. Other districts are still in process of harvesting late winter grain. Field fires was reported in Mokwani district that resulted in death of livestock and destroyed grazing land. Free State, below normal rainfall was received. Conditions have improved slightly in the central and western parts of the province. Water restrictions remained in place in most municipalities. The field is in poor conditions while livestock remains in reasonable conditions. However, most farmers are still supplementing their herds until field has fully recovered. There are reports of field fires in recent weeks where various districts were affected, and that has affected the grazing. The average level of major dams has decreased as compared to previous years during the same period. KwaZulu-Natal, very dry conditions were experienced over most parts of the province. The drought monitoring taken during August, King Ketuayo and Yuku district remain minor drought status. Winter season pastures are not exhibiting significant growth, and irrigation is being used to keep them alive. Supplementary leaks with hay, silage has been given to the livestock farmers. Winter crops, wheat in Utukela district, were planted late than normal, even where center pivot irrigation is used. Field and vegetation conditions have been below normal in most areas. There have been reports of field fires in some areas. The average level of dams has decreased as compared to previous years. Northwest is one of the provinces that also has been affected. Makamudiri Mulema and Dr. Ruth Mumpati district are the most affected, though a significant improvement has been observed. The September report indicated that below normal rainfall was received. The field and livestock conditions ranged from reasonable to poor. Gauteng province was not among the most affected province. However, measures are still considered to be put in place to address the drought issues affecting the farmers. When you move to the drought relief intervention for 2021, as the country was still experiencing the dry conditions following the mass declaration, as I raised earlier, 138 million was made available through the NDMC from National Treasury. And in addition, some provinces have put measures in place for risk reduction as outlined in the slide that I'll be presenting. The department continuously encouraging the province to set aside, as per the Disaster Management Act, some funds to be able to assist during the time when there is in need. This is a table that how the intervention was allocated for the six provinces. Eastern Cape allocated 35 million, where the money was earmarked for boreholes development and fodder production. They've currently spent almost 31.8, 68%. KwaZulu-Natal, they had earmarked their financial allocation to dam rehabilitation and recouping of silted dams, the amount of 4 million. They haven't spent a cent. They are still going through the procurement processes. Limpopo, their fund of 18.64 million was earmarked for borehole development, drilling and equipping. An amount of 18 is still the balance at the moment. But they are also busy with the procurement processes. Northwest, equipping of boreholes of amount of 18 million, 8 million. Similar to the others, they are also busy with the procurement process. The Western Cape is the second province that has already implemented some of the financial allocation. 25 million, they have spent 12 million on provision of fodder, total of 50.1% at the moment. Mpumalanga allocated 12.16 million. They're focusing that amount, drilling and equipment of boreholes, provision of animal feed and support of fodder bank initiative. They haven't spent, they're busy with the procurement process. Northern Cape similarly. They are also the hardest hit, but they also haven't really started with the allocation or allocating the feed and also extend the further congregation. Also, we want to take this some of the money to the clearing of the post-focus as an alliance that is consuming a lot of water, and also transport the fodder to other districts. This fodder being transported is the one that's already been harvested from the fodder bank from the research station. 35.6 million is still available at the moment, and the total is 138.489. Only 26.3 million has been spent. In addition to this amount, the provincial funding allocation, they did consider the EMEC fund that was also utilized to assist the farmers while waiting for the funds from National. The Western Cape has allocated their funds through a couple of provinces, throughout a couple of projects. The first one was river protection. They've allocated 5 million, and this is was the earmarked voted funds. I see there's a mistake there. They spent 2.5 million and the balance is 2.5. The alien clearing, they have spent 4 million. I see that the typo error there that the zeros. Earmark quotas to alien clearing. Also, this also affecting the water that is underground, 17 million, the balance at the moment. Fencing project to try to protect the natural resources. They haven't spent the budget at the moment. You are still having 1 million. The RUA project, used the voted funds. They have spent all the amount of that allocation. Fruit Loop, they've earmarked 10 million. They've spent 1 million and the balance is 9.4 million. Provincial funding allocation, Western Cape continues. The other project was on the Central Karoo, where the vouchers, drought vouchers was allocated to 619 farmers at 50% of qualifying value due to limited funds. 4.266 million was made available, and they spent that amount of money. Cape Wildlands similarly issued vouchers to 28 farmers. They spent all the 209,041,000 given to the Cape Wildlands, the farmers. Western Cape continues. Garden Route also overback allocated 2 million through the voucher system to the farmers. That amount of money was spent. West Coast voted funds for the voucher system to the farmers to buy seed. 3.4 million was spent. Total amount for Western Cape, they've allocated from their budget 49.6 million. They have spent 13 at the moment. They still have a balance of 29. Provincial funding allocation Limpopo, they've used their equitable share in those two projects. They supply and deliver livestock feed in an amount of 1.3 million. It's a balance of 615,000. Early warning information and awareness campaigns of 500,000. They are currently spending that amount. Is a balance of 356,000. Free State allocated 6 million from the equitable share. They have spent 1.468 on enhancing of 50 state drill boreholes for water and regulation. Is a balance of 4.5 million. Northwest awareness campaign 8 million operationally. They have spent at the moment 4 million. They are still a balance of 4 million. Disaster relief from the equitable share. They have allocated 4 million. This amount of money is still within the coffers, and they intended to spend this on for the relief. The total of those province, Limpopo, Free State, Northwest, as per slide, is 19.8. They spend 6.2 and the balance is 13.5. Criteria used by province for disbursement, we've got different criteria used by the provinces. provinces do not distribute these funds to farmers directly, but they procure on behalf of the farmers. Experience that we had previously was if you give the farmers funds, sometimes these funds are not really marked for the seed, it's used for something else. So that's why the province is now procuring on behalf of the farmers. Northern Cape and Western Cape use a fodder system to provide fodder to the farmers. Previously, some of the challenges that we picked up on the fodder system was where the farmers are unable maybe to go to the nearby identified suppliers to get their feed. And one of the discussions was maybe in that areas, maybe the fodder system can be changed and maybe procure for the farmers to receive the feed in the nearby the stations. Priorities given to the farmers who do not have resources to cope with a disaster without assistance. As per Act, those are able to do their assistance to do this. They must take on their own, but otherwise the assistance will be only for those unable to cope. Farmers apply for assistance through the process determined by each province, and farmers must, however, demonstrate that they have applied risk reduction measures to try and mitigate the adverse impact of the drought. That's one of the measures that we are putting ahead of them before they benefit. Other interventions to assist farmers affected by the drought is from at national level, the early warning system, climate change and disaster risk management information system developed for dissemination for early warnings. This information is tried to keep up to date with the weather and climate information to be distributed to the farmers for their daily planning for what might be coming. Either you have to reduce your stock or do the watering on your crop. That's based on this information that is made available through our early warning systems. Drilling and equipment of boreholes, our engineering working with the provinces to drill the boreholes where the drought affected areas. And on the other hand, provinces will be equipped, and also the national level we are also equipping these boreholes through our funding from National Treasury. Public awareness and training that also have been taken to really deal with the issue of risk reduction and climate change conditions, so the farmers can be aware of what are the conditions that might be coming. Research is still also continuing in the climate change focus, where the crop suitability and biogas digester for mitigation and adaptation of climate change being piloted in some provinces. Our climate smart agriculture framework that has been finalized, we are already sourcing funds to make sure that some of those measures identified from the plan are implemented and taken through by the provinces and also the farmers. We have developed a coping strategy booklet that's focusing on droughts, floods, wildfires, and extreme temperatures and migratory pests. This booklet are available. Most of the droughts, floods, and wildfires, they have been translated into all the nine languages so that all our farmers are able to understand what is being put in there as our coping strategies. For the productions, most of the provinces, they've now had anything to producing this feed because of the challenge of the drought, and we are supporting this through the province and our livestock colleagues to make sure that wherever we're able to produce this fodder may be available to the needy farmers. Eradication of wheat and alien species, and this is the project that is through the Landcare. We're also addressing this as well as through the environmental of forest and fisheries. They're also addressing this to, especially in the Northern Cape and Western Cape, to reduce this wheat to minimize the loss of underground water. Allocation of drought relief through provinces, equitable share, they're also making this opportunity of making sure that they're using their own funds to assist the farmers. The challenge that we experienced throughout is this recurring impact of drought in Cape Province due to constant dryness. We have met with ARC and the province and other land functions to look into this Karoo dry area to have maybe a broader research to understand exactly what's really happening in this area. if livestock, what kind of livestock might be in future that might be needed in this area to for future opportunities. We normally request a huge amount of money by the farmers, by the province, but because we don't have enough funds, we were unable maybe to do the 100%, including the disaster risk reduction. That's the focus that the Act wants us to look, focus more on risk reduction. And this is not yet being able to address all the needs that we really have been requiring. So that's the thing that we look at into increasing that this disaster risk reduction funding. One of the challenges that we have picked up is also lack of maintenance on infrastructure, especially on for livestock watering infrastructure. That the boreholes, if you ever you have assisted, sometimes there is no other maintenance either by province or the farmers, and that's also now impacts our livestock watering population. Mismanagement of natural resources. Fencing throughout the provinces, we used to have this fencing that was demarcating the camps. This is not available anymore, and this has affected our natural resources. And also the overgrazing because of land not available, it also affecting negatively on the land on the dry conditions. This assistance that we are giving to the farmers, sometimes the farmers now depend much on it, focusing that risk reduction is what the way forward, and we need to also have that way of making sure that the farmers are being reduced from this dependency syndrome. We normally have less, as I've raised, post disaster funding is not enough to really address complete what the farmers want to go back to the farmer. In conclusion, Honorable Chairperson, these are the points that we feel that we also need to address them and fully in dealing with taking this things further. Natural disaster and sealing drought are continuously threatening the livestock of the farming community and the sector at large, and climate change will make this thing worse. As such, the sector has adopted a proactive approach to disaster management based on the following priority areas. Establishing integrated institutional capacity and support at all levels of government, and this can only be effective if we all work through from national down through the district level, and including the farming community as well be part of this institutional capacity. Increasing awareness and preparedness on impending disasters, the knowledge is really important that farmers to be able to understand and what really might be facing them in future. Reduction of disaster risk through appropriate research plans that also need funding. We are working on that with other sectors that we need to increase funding on those broader issues. We might be discussing today on pests and drought per se, but other diseases on this climate change conditions, there might be new coming, so we need to be at rest with the research and knowledge throughout the country. Develop risk reduction and mitigation plans. We need to make sure that they're implemented. We can develop them, but we need to make sure that we've got funds and capacity to fully implement these plans. Establish and implement response recovery and rehabilitation programs. They need to be effectively implemented. Implement education and training communication plans, that sometimes we got the challenge on addressing these programs and communication. Implementing an effective early warning system and improving information dissemination. We think this is one of the tools that we might win when we are dealing with disaster risk reduction. If this information early warning can be taken effectively throughout the disaster. Chairperson, let me stop at the end of this to discuss it before we move to the second presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ntate Kgakatsi, honorable members. That's the presentation on the impact and the interventions of a drought. I am now opening the floor to you to engage with the presentation. Can we start with Honorable Mahlo?
Yes,
Good morning to everyone, including yourself, Chair, and also to all officials. Good morning. My input or intake in this presentation will be focusing on the latter slide, which was a slide where they talk about challenges that are facing them. I've realized that they are talking about the insufficient funding for DRR, lack of maintenance on infrastructure, mismanagement of natural resources, dependence of farmer and government. So my question here is that what is the turnaround strategy on mitigating these challenges that we have? Although I saw the other slide, which is after this one, which talks about what is going to happen, But what I wanted to know is that, taking this into consideration and knowing that we have this drought in South Africa, did the department have, since the drought started, when they talk about this climate change, does the department have anything in mind to put a certain budget aside? Or internationally, do we have any organizations like the first slide that was presented to us? They were talking about different names of different institutions. I just wanted to check as to whether is there any institution that is dealing with this issue of drought relief in our country. If there is, or if a disaster management committee nationally, if that disaster management committee which is there, didn't they budget something to help our provinces and help our most needy in rural areas? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Masha. Honorable Mbabama. Honorable Mbabama.
Sorry, Chair. I'm using a new gadget here. Chair, I have listened to the presentation and I honestly do not have any questions. Obviously, the department is saying that there is insufficient funding, which is quite a concern considering the extent of the drought. I know that my colleague Nugumu Matipa will talk more on this because he's been on the ground monitoring the damage that the drought has done to our farmers. I'm just concerned about the insufficient funding and how that can be, improved upon. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mbabama. Honorable Kapa.
Thank you, Chair, and I'm very sorry for having been managed to get in late. But there are only two areas I wanted to get clarity on. One is that from our department, how do they guarantee and convince us that this information, and as I believe that they take it from provinces, and my experience is that there are several instances where the report and the information from provinces is not correct or is not accurate. That's the experience. And therefore, to me, it seems there should be some mechanism that they can say to us, this we can verify, or this has been verified, because at the end of the day, it becomes their responsibility. Secondly, there's that mention of in the challenges of the mismanagement of resources. I don't now understand now who is responsible for this mismanagement. In that case, it means at the end of the day, again, we should be able to know how is that being addressed, because it will be understood and identified where exactly is this mismanagement placed. And lastly, Chair, there is this issue of what they call this drought-resistant cultivars of seeds. I haven't heard any mention of this, and yet I suspect that is one of the critical areas of addressing this issue of drought. I thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kapa. Honorable Masipa.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to follow through with what Honorable Kapa just said, that how do we make sure that the information that are received from the provinces are correct? Because with regards to the Western Cape, the information we have received now here is that they have spent 12 million and there's still outstanding amounts that still need to be spent. But as far as the province is concerned, is that they have exhausted all the fundings that they have received. So I think it is important that the department come before us, they verify the information to just make sure that the information that they are sharing with us is 100% correct. Chair, the minister in her reply to question with regards to the issue of suspending the disaster of drought, she indicated that even though the drought relief, the drought disaster is lifted, the support towards the province will continue to ensure that the regions that are affected by drought receive the support that they need. So the question for me is to the department in that regard in particular is that what is the allocation that the department has got to provide the relief to this particular farmers that are affected? So the Western Cape drought relief is finished. So there is nothing left. So they need support. I was in the Karoo, the central Karoo is severe, is bad. They definitely need your support. I just want to get to the Northern Cape quickly, Chair, if you allow. Springbok, I just want to read the average rainfall. Springbok average, long-term average is about 135 millimeter. So far, since 27, they have received 64 millimeter, 67, 2018, 48, 2019. This 2020, they received only 7 millimeter. Loriesfontein, average is 220 millimeter. 2017, they received 81, 2018, 109. 2019, 78, and 2020, they received 27. Now, Chair, the department has indicated that Northern Cape is allocated 35 million. This allocation was done in February. When we were out with our ad hoc committee on the amendment of Section 25, the Agri Northern Cape executive and their farmers, they have briefed us to say that there is 35 million that is there with the department and the department is not releasing that amount of money to support these farmers. So the question is, what is the department doing to ensure that this province really help and assist the farmers? This allocation of 35 million, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the Northern Cape concerned, it was allocated in February and we are in November now and this money has not been spent. Chair, I think the department must just answer to us with this, with regards to this and just help us because if needs be, Chair, we definitely need to call the Department of Agriculture of the Northern Cape to come to the committee and present to us as to why are they not releasing this funding to the farmers. I thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Masipa. Honorable Briet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Madam Chair, I would like to agree and concur with my previous two speakers. I think they have quite extensively exhausted the questions in terms of the drought relief that was allocated and the monitoring and evaluation in terms of that money being paid and that money being allocated to farmers. I would maybe just like to add on to that, speaking about the voucher system as well as fodder that has been released to farmers and, you know, continuously been given. And there are, and I know it's not a national function per se, it goes down, and at the end of the day, it is the district and the province that sees to the distribution of these drought relief funds. But I have quite a great concern in terms of that. In Limpopo, our MPL there had quite a number of issues in terms of the vouchers, in terms of your co-ops that that were not aware that there were arrangements, if I can remember correctly, and a lot of places that did not accept those vouchers, and certain places that they were informed that the vouchers, they could use the vouchers for you know, those irregularities in terms of that. And then also, Chairperson, just in terms of specifically the Northern Cape, I know there were some issues where farmers actually applied for fodder but never received, and they know of neighbours and so that have also suffered, but did not necessarily in that round of requesting assistance for fodder received sometimes as many as two or three times, and to receive, you know, a bale is not much for all of your herd, but that is just those irregularities, and I was wondering whether the department actually envisions, and I know we've spoken a lot about concurrences and about provinces, I don't want to say lying, but I want to say misleading national department regarding the actual state of affairs. And I would like to know what we're going to do about this. We can't just complain about this. We need a plan. And I want to know from the department whether there is a plan in terms of that. Chairperson, I want to welcome the fact that the department acknowledges that they need to be proactive, but I would like us to see that proactive approach to natural disasters and what they're planning to do. And Chairperson, maybe just my last comment / question, in terms of drought, and I see a lot of money being spent, millions of rands being spent, specifically I think in the Free State we're spending quite a number, on the drilling of boreholes. I spoke to a lady who has a business in actually Windpomp at the Simp, and they are drilling anywhere from 400 meters to a kilometer almost to find water. And the natural fact is that if we do not have rainwater, it doesn't matter that we have boreholes and we drill for water, because at the end of the day, if we don't get rain from the top, our natural resources and our underground water is going to deplete. How are we envisioning, what are our alternatives? We mentioned, I think it was at the end of last year, we mentioned plans in terms of alternative water strategies, but I would like to see that, and I would like to find out from the department how we are prioritizing this. Madam Chair, I would leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Briet, Honorable Mbatha. Honorable Mbatha. Is Honorable Mbatha not, I can see she's there on the platform, or maybe it's a problem of network also. Whilst probably I'll go back to her, let me just reflect on this Ntate Ramasothi and Ntate Khakatse. The status that has been shown to us here today, it's a very worrying status, looking at that we are at 2020 now. We're talking this drought starting from last year and disaster being declared in February 2020. Now, for an example, Northern Cape, that Ntate Masipa went on, Honorable Masipa, to allude to the status of different areas of Northern Cape. your slide on Northern Cape is saying it will take years to recover unless risk reduction measures are implemented. In the case of Northern Cape and probably others, what are these risk reduction measures? Number two is that all provinces requested millions, over 100 millions, 400 for an example, 600 in Northern Cape, 643 in Eastern Cape, 136 Northern Cape, 400 in Mpumalanga, and they did not even receive 50. When you look at their expenditure, the slide on expenditure, nothing has been spent. They are still old procurement processes. When was this money dispatched to the provinces? We're talking 2019. Farmers suffering from 2019. We are at the end of 2020. When was the money dispatched? Two, what monitoring mechanisms or strategies are there in the department that ensures that farmers that are suffering because of drought, they get interventions quickly? If we are at the end of 2020, are we saying these people, these farmers are going to get assistance only in 2021? Because provinces are now all of a sudden still busy with the procurement process. Nothing has been spent since 2019 when disaster befell our farmers. So I also want to check with you as a department, the provincial funding slide. We appreciate that provinces has set something aside from their equitable shares to intervene also at different levels. But when you look at that slide, Dr. Ramasuchi, and this takes me to the monitoring part that I'm talking about. Limpopo, for an example, is spending, is allocating 500,000 for awareness. Northwest is allocating 8 million for awareness. 8 million. They've already spent 4 million. They're still going to spend the other 4 million. The very same province, Northwest, for disaster relief, it's 4 million. Now, as a national department, when you receive allocation like this, when you are monitoring, what do you say? What kind of awareness will cost you 8 million instead of buying fodder, instead of doing interventions that you meet farmers halfway? Yes, information sharing and awareness is okay. But what's the difference between Northwest and Limpopo that the others can spend 8 million on awareness whilst others spending 500,000 on awareness, which in my case, it is reasonable for Limpopo, even at its size, to spend 500,000. Not 8 million on awareness. Couldn't it have been given to further whatever? Honorable Briat is right with the issue of boreholes. Everybody's drilling boreholes. And we know where the fact with drought is that the water table goes down. You will drill and drill, and others are dry as we speak. What other strategies are there except drilling boreholes to make sure that...
Hello? Hello? Mam Gaga?
I don't know. I lost it, but that is where I was ending with the issue of boreholes. Is Honorable Mbatha back? Remember?
Yes.
All right.
So, my worry is the issue that the national it doesn't give the provinces, the provinces, they procure on behalf of the farmers. You know, with procurement, we have so much corruption when it's done by our provinces. Why can't they directly give the farmers money? Because sometimes we find that when they say they must apply through them, through the provinces, there are farmers who never benefited because they apply and apply and apply, but nothing, they get nothing. And they don't get somebody who will assist them on how best they can apply so that they can get a funding. So that's my worry. And they say the priority is given to farmers who do not have resources, but it's not like that. There are farmers, in some of the cases, there are farmers who don't have resources, but they can't. They don't benefit. And you must bear in mind that not all, when I speak of the black farmers, not all black farmers can read and write. So somewhere, somehow, there is assistance that the government must assist on our people. And I also align myself with you when you say why the funds haven't been released or the procurement of whatever that needs to be procured. It's not with the farmers by this time. And remember, if you listen to how our farmers are struggling, they must have a strategy that immediately assists them, not to wait for a long time. Otherwise, we are just taking those farmers backwards. And some of the farmers, they'll end up not being successful, end up with everything being taken away from them or destroyed because of climate change and the resources that are not coming to them on time. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Mbatha. Dr. Namasori and Mr. Khansi, we're taking it back for you to reflect and respond on some of the issues raised by members. And as you do that, please bear in mind the matter raised by Honorable Masipa, that if it needs be, would have to follow up on issue here, Northern Cape. And I just want to also put it to members that they must remember that the Deputy President even went to Northern Cape. If it needs you to go and play oversight there, I don't know. We cannot just be sitting in offices and doing all this and we don't know and see and feel what the farmers are feeling on the ground. Tate Ramasodi and Tate Khakati.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the questions that were posed. I think we can ratify the questions in terms of the international landscape, the policy issues that relate to climate change adaptation and mitigation, and we can deal with the financial issues that the Honorable Members have asked. And we can also deal with the issues around the MNE that the honorable members have asked. I will then ask just outside of the issues, because Honorable Kapa had asked about the use of drought-resistant cultivars. I'll give the first one to Dr. Yafta, and then give over to Dr. Khakati to deal with the issues that I have just related, from international issues up to monitoring and evaluation. And I will take any question that in between the colleagues might have missed. Over to you, Dr. Yafta, with the chair's permission.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the honorable members for the question. Chair, you would recall that the drought, and we would like to clarify it, Honorable Chair. It's not drought-resistant varieties. It is, the correct term is drought-tolerant.
Doctor, sorry, Doctor Yosta, is it possible just to beam your screen that you see you? And if you are struggling with network afterwards, you can just switch it off, just for record purpose.
Okay.
Perfect.
Chair, so sorry, I hope you can see me because I can't now see what pictures projected. But yeah, I just wanted to bring the clarity that we often speak about drought-resistant varieties. The correct term is actually drought-tolerant varieties. There is work that has advanced far with the ARC. And their information or those varieties were released. Initially, it was only limited releases. But if the ARC is on the platform, I'm not too sure, they could give an indication of the extent of the release of the drought, the drought-tolerant maize varieties. There is also quite a lot of work that we are now doing together with the Department of Science and Innovation with respect to support the development of drought tolerant wheat varieties, and some of that work has advanced far. But it is done at this point in terms of a consortium so that we can actually have multiple partners coming in and bringing various expertise. So, Mr. Ramaswamy, we can then just follow up with ARC in terms of the current season, how far they've gone in terms of marketing the maize-tolerant drought-tolerant maize varieties. But that is chairperson's part. So chairperson, that is part of the work that we're doing in terms of making sure that from a crop production perspective, we are bringing new technology to the farmers, given the South African production environment. There's obviously quite a lot of other developments around pest and disease tolerance, but that is also some information that we can provide to the committee in a summarized form later on, because pest and disease incursions obviously is also linked to the changes in terms of the environment. I thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Doc. Dr. Khakaz.
Thanks, Chair President, again, and thanks to the question from the honorable members. As the acting DG has said, I'll need to look at the international through down to issues that are really affecting us within the country. First question relating to the mitigation strategies and around budget applied international issues. Mitigations, maybe we can first say agriculture itself is a risky business. We are saying it's a risky business because it's dependent in entirety on climate and weather conditions. And when you look at what's really happening when the weather and forecast, I mean, even the daily weather forecasting is not really up to whatever, it's always having a dead challenge. And when you look at the longer term, so when you now go to this business of agriculture, you have to help be on pause on those other challenges. So it's really a broader issue. So our mitigation strategy is because of linking it to weather and climatic conditions. Those are our strategies. Then we will have to look internally and say, these are the things that we might be using. When we look at the livestock side, the research component might address the relevant breed that we might consider within our country that might that should have been surviving a couple of years ago, but now because of the weather climatic conditions, they are unable, and then we need to look at from other countries which ones might be relevant. That's why the research will be undertaking on that. Yes, the Dr. Jafta was talking about the crop side, but there are other within the crop that might really within the time of the drought be able to survive. Because when you look at the issue that was raised earlier on the framework of 164 millimeter, and when cut across the crop that can survive under that conditions, we'll see maybe that crop is not even there. So those are the issues to say South Africa as is a semi-arid area where our average rainfall might be 400 to 500.
Honorable Marshall, please mute. Sorry, Dr. Khakasa.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. So the mitigation and mitigation strategy turnaround, we are supposed to be implementing those in continuously. But for us to own them, we need to have our farmers to be able to understand and implement them. Because these are some of the strategies they need to be facing on a daily basis and deciding what action needs to be taken. So our strategies are internationally recognized. We are really doing exactly what our colleagues from our meetings that we need to try to be implementing. But one of the things that we need to first is where we are. South Africa is a semi-arid, and we're already in a dry situation. Then we need to look at all the relevant commodities that we might be able to try to be bring in and making sure they're surviving. So that's what we say. The research needs to be really focused and see from now where future, what might be here when we look at the climate change. Budget aside, risk reduction is where we can say we might have to budget for risk reduction. But for post-disaster recovery, there is no fund. We are not really budgeting. National Treasury doesn't budget for that. But there is within the Disaster Act provinces must allocate 2% of their budget to be able to address this. So the only challenge is that the provinces are not able to put this money aside. And because this one, they can use it immediately before they approach the national spheres of government for assistance or their equitable share to say, our budget is so much within the sector and put this so much aside to budget for it. But risk reduction can be budget. We have, this as you are saying, it's not enough. We have been given so much at the moment. I'm sure it was 60 to 70, but because of the challenges that the country has been faced, that amount of money has been reducing on a yearly basis. It's now been less than 50. So those are the challenges that we are saying we are facing. But I'm just saying internationally, the international institutions we are working with, but they don't really say can address individual countries. But it's to say, as a country, look at your resources and look at how you can be able to address those other issues. But our risk reduction is at national level, provincial management-wise, assist the farmers where they can, and then they need also to take up and be able to do their assistance. Insufficient funding on risk reduction, as I'm saying, is reducing from Honorable Marco. It's been reduced. It's not really enough. That's what we have been allocated. But you can maybe at the same time be able to do that. One of the programs that we've been funding is the land care that has been there for years. But that allocation is not really been growing, and we are trying to do the issues on natural resources and protecting it. So some of our land care program is to try to address the issues of resources, because when you talk about natural resources, we are talking about grass, water, and whatever. And when you say it's mismanaged, it's like because we used to have some fencing that was trying to protect the movement, we don't have those anymore. We used to look at the grazing that we have. We might see now, instead of having only 10 livestock in that area, currently we are having 200, and that's why we are talking about the mismanagement that it cannot be addressed. But this also goes to other issues that is not within us, the issue of land allocation, because now these farmers will say, we don't have land to make sure that we have house our small city. So this is how the pressure now is given to land, that then the area, even if we are not going to be experiencing drought, but because of that negative impact done by overgrazing, it will lead to earlier drought. So those are the things that we are looking at. the information that's raised by Honorable Kappa from the provinces, what we are doing on daily basis, on monthly basis, we've got programs that is monitoring weather and climatic conditions, where we've got our colleagues on the ground that is feeding on our information to know exactly what's happening. So on a quarterly basis, when we look at the status on the ground, we'll have to meet and with our research councils, as well as also our other stakeholders, we might invite the university to look at monitoring of the weather and climatic conditions to know exactly what is happening. Feeding on the information from the extension, especially on the livestock and crop status on the ground, that information is the one that we've been fed. So we're also using the satellite to monitor exactly what's happening. So we normally, when we having this satellite information with the information from the colleagues on the ground, we're able to verify that the current condition is what is really being happening, and we'll also be able to back it up. But besides that, we also have in the team that we need to also go on the ground and do the monitoring on the status as well to see exactly, is it exactly what the satellite are showing us and what we are having. So we are able to go and do that monitoring so that when having the request from the province, we'll be having that support of the condition on the ground. When we move to the MNE, because we normally expect the province to be implementing, at national level we can implement, but sometimes we are having this challenge that you might try to implement at national level, but because the concurrent function, we expect them, because they are closer to farmers, implement the risk reduction as well as the post-disaster. But we are always with them to monitor exactly what's happening. There might be some challenge there when the funding has been earmarked for a certain project. Suddenly, provincial executives, they can change, and we normally expect them to request the deviation from the disaster center to say that money that we allocated. But we normally have that challenge that some decisions are taken and that some funds can be shifted, not really being given that authority. But information correctness, we always look at those things. We know there might be some discrepancies on the figures that we are faced with when we are requesting so much, and then request them more, but we also need little, and those are the challenges that we always face with. When you look at the issue of the declaration, we know we might have talked about the 138 million, but like the province, like Northern Cape, the last year they were still spending. They have been spending since 2014. The allocation within the land pack, but I know that it was a presentation. I couldn't have that opportunity of maybe opening it, but we have it to show as LS 2013 how much we have been given to those provinces. So it might be 35 to the province, but last year we were given 127 for them to implement this funding. So it's not to say based on this national declaration, this is the only amount that was made available. And again, as I said, the time when the declaration was made, the country also received better rains than the previous year. So, and when you look at production-wise, this was a better year than any other year. I'm sure when you look at our crop actually made, it's a bumper crop to show that the season was okay. I know commercially our farmers are able to do that quick. Chairperson, I see I'm running short of a battery. I might have to move quicker to maybe to my phones so that I can be able to do that. The issue of the Springbok, that the waters was 164 average and has been reduced. And this is why I'm just saying we need to look at the commodity that might be surviving. I mean, 164, I'm sure Dr. Jastan from production will raise on that one to say this might be this type of crop that might survive. In really, average is 400 to 500. So we need to look at what better crop, where other countries internationally they are finding under the deficit. We need to bring it and see if it can be. Those are the things that we need to know from analyzing our research. From Honorable Briede on the voucher system, I know we did, Honorable Member talked about Limpopo voucher system, and I'm sure that the acting DG, if I'm still audible enough, acting DG can talk to that one on Limpopo on the 1.2 billion on the voucher system. But I only know that other provinces that within the disaster risk reduction are in the voucher system, Limpopo, is Northern Cape and Western Cape. So the one for the voucher system that Ms. Brady talked about, honorable member, is the current 1.2 billion. So that the acting DG will talk to that one. The issue of the underground water, rainwater. Yes, we are quite aware of the broader challenge on the underground water system that we are always faced with. And one of the things that talk about mitigation and other strategies is either when we have the rainwater harvesting techniques and also other techniques when you look at conservation agriculture, that you might try to save the moisture that you have when you are planting. Areas of going deeper on the ground, we always say that each and every year or couple of years that we need to have heavy rains, downpour, where the underground water is being charged. But we are quite aware that the drilling boreholes all over the ground might have a negative impact on us, but also waiting for some rains from the atmosphere where there's nothing, there's another we need to look at. But there was a, we might have to look at the relevant commodity that might be real in future, that might be real, be considered in those vicinity. Honorable Chairperson, I hope my laptop is still surviving on that one. Risk reduction measures, as I talked about, is on the breed side, the crop. I know we talked about the maize, but there are other crop besides maize that we need to look at that might be relevant. And that's what I say. When we are doing research, let's identify the different commodity. It might even say agriculture in this area totally we are not. Maybe they need to bring other sectors that might really work and survive on this one. Provinces are requesting higher funds. Yes, having the challenge, and that's why we have picked up Honorable Chairperson, that the province hasn't been spent their money, but the allocations was mentioned in April or March this year, but the real transfer of funds happened in July, and even not even transferred. That was the letters was issued by that time. And when we have that challenge of National Treasury to say the provinces have this being allocated, but they don't have funding. And National Treasury said the province should go ahead and use their own funding before the Minister of Finance sign over that allocation. So those are also Catch 22 to say, yes, the money has been allocated, but not yet been transferred. So the real transfer happened in July, and then the province started doing that. One of the things was also challenged that during the COVID, the movement on the ground, our colleagues were not to be able to do that. And this is why the things also affected on this one. And this is why the measures. I'm sure the things also that have threatened the implementation is the focus on corruption side, that whatever they've been doing previously, now they are trying to run away and making sure that what they make available is in line with what is being requested throughout currently. And what we are looking at now, this season that we are in, we are hoping that the season will be better, and it will also now affect the allocation, that now the rents are coming and we are still having the amount of money. The allocations from the equitable share, maybe the acting DG talked to that one. We don't have really control of it. Yes, from our side, we also worried that 400 million was allocated to awareness and issues that have been given that, but I'm not sure that what have our powers. We don't have that on the allocation from the province side that we can say on the other on that front. Giving farmers direct funding, it has been a challenge. It has happened previously, and this money went to something else, not really feeding. And this is why politicians have decided that we need to make sure that if there is a way of procuring, we must make sure that we procure to the farmers. Forger, even forger system in Northern Cape and Western Cape, we have picked up some loophole when we allocated forger to buy the feed. And when we went there, the farmers now augment their credit with the voucher. So those are things that there is no system that is unnecessarily collapsed, but we are always throughout monitoring that one. So the issue of application for EBA that's not really coming up is those things to say there might not be funds available, but throughout the province at national level, we are really responsible, including the farmers themselves, to be able to address this issue. The measures mitigation, those are the measures that can province or the farmers immediately implement of reducing their livestock, of making sure that they are within the area that they feed, not walking, because when they are moving, they might also lose their life. Chairperson, I'm sure I've still having some power on my computer. Chairperson, I've done my part. I'm not sure if the acting DG can touch on the 1.2 voucher system in Limpopo, 1.2 billion, as well as the budget of the province utilizing equitable share for 400 million, well, 4 million for awareness. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Doctor. Acting DG, in 4 minutes.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. A few issues I think that I would like just to touch base on that were raised that might not have been adequately responded to. The first one is an issue around the lethargic response that we are having from the Northern Cape and the money that is allocated there. Suffice to indicate that the issues that were raised by Dr. Khakadzi in this case around when the money was allocated and dealt with is something that is very important. But what from where we are as a department, honorable members, we had during the past week tried to see what kind of level of assistance can we also assist the provinces with based on the indications that we had from the floor. We were just waiting for the allocation to say how much more can we get in terms of assisting the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and the Western Cape. That's something that we are working on. The issue that was raised by Honorable Masipa on the differences in stats, we will just have got to look at it, and our humble apologies for that. The questions that were asked by Honorable Briet regarding the voucher system and how it works, I'm aware that the Honorable members would be receiving a presentation on Tuesday relating to the issues around the vouchers and how we did in terms of our COVID-19 intervention. And maybe it would only be fair for me to allow that process to unfold so that we can deal with it. But as a measure, I will already indicate to the presenter for that to also capture the essence of the question that came from Honorable Brett. The last one that came from the chair, and which is very important in terms of how we do our M&E, we have noted the intervention that came from the chair. And what we will do, Chairperson, in line with Section 100 and also in line with what is expected for monitoring and evaluation, we will get the breakdown in terms of the work that has been done in Northwest so that we can share it with the committee. Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members.
Thanks, Kendiji. Can we then move to the second presentation, that of the plant pests? The brown locust. Thanks.
Chairperson, Dr. Khakadzi would also take us through the presentation. It's a short presentation, and we will then also allow for honorable members for questions. Thank you.
As directed, Dr. Khakadzi.
Yes. Thanks, Chairperson. I'm trying to move over to the cell phone. Give me just a minute because this one is dying now. Oh, I'll be able to load this. Okay, thanks, Chairperson. It seems I'll be having a challenge on my cell phone. I won't be able to load the presentation from the cell phone, but I've just put it there. Let's just go quickly on it. I'll talk to those 6 points, introduction, low-cost control, outbreak, and extent of the impact.
Sorry.
Hello?
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, Honorable.
Can I try and assist to load from my side?
Okay, Ma'am Kosh.
Okay, let me stop here.
There it is. Slide 29. You can continue, Dr. Khekat. It's possible now.
Okay, so thanks, Chairperson. I hope am I audible enough?
You are, and that continue.
Okay. Chairperson, I'll just go quick on this one. On the low cost, Chairperson, when he was opening, he was talking about Africa, which is Africa that's at low cost that he has been experienced a couple of weeks ago, months ago. And here in the country, we normally experience the brown low cost having outbreak in those three provinces. We are, as a department, responsible for the control as per Act. And there are 4 declared locust species in South Africa, namely African migratory locust, brown locust, red locust, and South African desert locust. The epidemic outbreak, the endemic outbreak area of brown locust in the Karoo area, which covers mostly the Northern Cape, parts of Eastern Cape and Western Cape provinces. The department has insecticide, protective clothing and spraying pump in stores in both DR and Upington Depot as a contingency measure to deal with the outbreak of locust when it occurs. The department appoints locust contractors in the endemic areas who are activated to control the outbreak when it occurs. I'm sure we're having more than 400 control officers on the ground to assist us. Next slide. The locust control system, we just put in this system just to show how the department is dealing with this thing. It has happened in those three provinces for a couple of years ago, so we have been experiencing this, but it's not immune to other provinces like Limpopo, Northwest, and others, so but it's not to the extent of it happening in this other areas. So we are controlling this in terms of the Act. The land users and members of the public report the outbreak of locust to the nearest office of the department stipulated by the Act. And in Northern Cape, because of the vastness of the land, sometimes if a farmer is in maybe a million hectares, might be staying in the corner, and then the locust might come out in one of the area which might not be picked up and which might be the challenge, but this is how they are reporting it. The department has purchases then insecticide, protective clothing and spray pumps, and keep them in stores and control locusts once there is an outbreak. The department will then liaise with organized agriculture to nominate the people that will assist us in doing this, and they will be trained and appointed to do the control from each district in the outbreak prone areas.
Then appointment of locust control officers are provided with insecticides, protective clothing, and spring pump where there is an outbreak in their area, and then activated to control it. But this will only happen after they have been trained, because sometimes this chemical might be harmful to their body. After the control operation, the locust control officers are reimbursed for the days they control, and including the kilometers during the control. The funds for control are sourced from reprioritized within the department, and if not enough, the request from National Assembly for unforeseen and unavoidable expenses within being approached, and this is how we've been dealing with this in the past. When we look at the current report, the outbreak started on southwestern parts of Northern Cape province in Richmond. But when you look at the first report we picked up was in January 2020, and this happened 8 year period since we last experienced in 2012. And if you look at since 2012 until now, and so we have been having experiencing the dryness in those areas, and the eggs that been laid there, they've been dormant, and I'm sure then during the recent rains, whatever, that's why they were able to hatch up. The outbreak ended in July during winter season, and now this is the second outbreak that started from the second week of September 2020 following the rains received in the last week of August in the affected areas. This is the second generation of the locust after the outbreak, which was experienced from the January to July 2020. So we have been controlling this locust since January until July, even if the one desert locust is recently being hit, but we have been doing the control since then. The current outbreak has affected Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Raising Land, as in being controlled in those areas. So that is, because it was coming from the winter, so there no crops really affected. It's only the grazing land. There is no infestation on crop at this stage. Next slide. This is the extent of the impact on crop and grazing land. In the Northern Cape, we've got the local district that affected 10 of them. Farms affected 174. Area affected is 973,500 hectares. And this is in the Northern Cape, and we have appointed 10 locust officers to be able to deal with this in these areas. Western Cape, two districts, 35 farms, the land size 261,000. And we have appointed two districts. This is the sort of the managers, but below them, we are having hundreds of locust control officers. Eastern Cape, there are 5,127, 851,000 hectares and five districts. And the outbreak started in Northern Cape, so we have been controlling before it was able to spread to the other provinces, and that's where some of the media, because the first time maybe being experienced in the Eastern Cape, and that's why the media was able to pick up. But in Northern Cape, we normally control this each and every time when there is an outbreak. The next slide. Next slide. The challenge is that when we implemented this, we have picked up is an occupied farm with no immediate report of the outbreak. As I raised earlier, that the areas in the Northern Cape, they've got vast land of hams, and if they are in the corner where they are unable to observe it, and there is no one in Tura who can, when our guys are doing the M&E, because they're also able to go around, but they won't be able to have an access. And if there is no one who can report this, they will be able to grow from the hopper stage until they fly to the nearby whatever areas, and this is where we are having the challenge. Late identification and reporting of the outbreak from the farm owners who own large areas, as I mentioned. Sometimes these farms, they might not be being even in the area. Maybe they are in Gauteng, and there is no one who can really report us. And this is the thing that from our side we have picked up as a challenge. But And that means that they'll fly and be adult and lay eggs, and wherever they are, then they'll also be able to control wherever they are. Next slide. Chairperson, in conclusion on this presentation is the current locust outbreak is under control where we are doing, we are controlling it on a daily basis, Monday to Monday. So, and the control normally happens in the morning. And about we wake up around about 3-4, we'll do the control. As the sun raises up, the chemicals are not be able to do the work. They evaporate immediately when they come from the nose. Then we'll then wait until the afternoon. Then we'll start the control again from 5-6 until it's up, then we'll stop. So during the daylight, we are not able to do the control. So, but we have been doing that with the teams on the ground, and we are monitoring and thinking that we do that. Because of some of these areas where there is no one who's reporting, the adult will also go out and lay some eggs, and we'll, I don't know how long, maybe throughout this season. We are expecting that. We are thinking that we'll do this control throughout the season because the conducive now they are really good for this locust to come out to hatch. The temperatures and the range that in those areas are being experienced. So we'll continuously be doing controls and thinking that we'll also continuously report and make honorable members aware of the conditions that is happening on the ground. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Dr. Khakati. Honorable members, that is the status and the control measures that the department is currently doing. I'm opening the floor to your honorable self, Honorable Patricia Marshall.
Honorable Chair, let me appreciate and acknowledge the presentation. It is well being presented, and I think the controlling measures and the continuation of monitoring. I think.
Sorry, Honorable Marshall. Honorable Marshall, excuse. Honorable Kapa, can you please mute your microphone? Honorable Marshall, continue. Ask his.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was saying that we would like to take this opportunity and acknowledge the presentation. And also that in this presentation, when I go through it, I've realized and see that the continuation of monitoring and controlling measures which the department is talking about is really indeed, it can be followed. It will eliminate some of the problems that we are having as a country. And the other thing that I wanted to also come in with is that we need to make sure that we look at the issue of when they implement the control measures, they must take into consideration the issue of their procedures, their policy and procedures that will make sure that they follow things. Because what is happening in our government presently is that without having an ISO in place, which talks about the time frame of certain things that must happen in terms of bookkeeping principles, that is what makes us to fail, because we don't follow things accordingly. We have monitoring and evaluation tools, but we don't follow them. And if we are not going to follow them, it means that the department will not. But if they can indeed do what they say, what they tell us, it will help us a lot as a country. And I like to applaud them with the report that they've presented now, especially with the one that talks about the continuation of monitoring and controlling on locust outbreak. I think it will help. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Masho. Honorable Mbabama.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you very much to the department for the presentation. Their presentation seems to paint a picture to us that things are in control. What I would like to see more is if they can give us more detail on the farms and the farmers, in fact, the farms that have been affected, and especially the extent of the damage in each farm. And what are the categories of farmers that are affected by this? I, for one, am not familiar with this locust outbreak, and I would really appreciate more information in terms of the actual impact on the farmers on the ground. What is it, and which kind of farmers are affected more than anything else? I would also like to find out from the department, what if we had a very large outbreak that is quite widespread across farms? What kind of measures do we have? Because from what I'm seeing in the presentation, it seems that we are training people who could be on foot to work on the locusts or prevention, or they could be on buggies. But what if we had a very large scale problem in several farms that have a lot of hectares on them? Would they be prepared for that kind of thing? Because I've seen watching TV in other countries where you find that they even use helicopters to spray, you know, the whole area. So my main question here is, would they be ready for a very large outbreak of this locust problem? And, would they have the budget as well to maybe hire a helicopter if that happens? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mbabama. Honorable Kapa. Ntate Kapa. Kapa. I'll come back to Honorable Kapa. Let's go to Honorable Briet.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I think Honorable Mbabama covered to a large extent. What I also wanted to ask was, what is the extent and what is the department doing in terms of, I know we are doing insecticides and so forth, but what is the extent of the damage, and is there another way that the department can be of assistance in that regard? And I know the acting DG spoke of monitoring and evaluation, and that it is quite a bit of a problem. My fear is, Chairperson, and what we've seen in terms of foot and mouth disease and some of the other diseases that we've seen come and go, is that our control officers do not actually get to the ground and do not actually ensure that the necessary control measures are put in place. How will the department see that we do this necessary, that our control officers actually take the necessary steps and do ensure that they get to the ground and they ensure that we are actually proactive and not reactive to the brown locust plague? Maybe, Chairperson, if you would allow, but please stop me if I am out of order. In the response previously to the drought, one of the speakers mentioned that 400 million rand was spent on awareness, and I was just wondering what awareness entails. Is that pamphlets, or is that structures or so forth? And maybe just a second, Chairperson, if you can allow me that as well. I have become aware of ASF that is in the Randfontein area of Gauteng, and there's a lot of WhatsApp messages going around regarding biodiversity, and people should not enter pig farms and so forth, and whether the department is aware of that, and just maybe give us more clarity on that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Brett. You are in order. This is the only chance that you have with this department, and if there are any issues that are of a concern, can we use the opportunity to get clarity on? Honorable Kapa, are you back?
Yes, I'm back, Chair.
Can you?
Yes, Chair, I'm back. But I don't have anything to raise now.
Thanks, Honorable.
Yes.
All right, you will come at the end. You can listen to others because it was like we have been thrown off.
Yes.
Like, Honorable Masipa.
We're also thrown off, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Masipa. Honorable Mbata.
Sorry, Honorable Chair.
Okay, you can continue that. I gave you the platform.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were thrown off. Chair, thanks. I'm going to link this question with the previous presentation, Chair. I know that Kenya, Djibouti, Ethiopia, and Uganda, they received about 160 million funding from the World Bank to fight this particular problem. Northern Cape is experiencing drought crisis, and Land Bank is also struggling with many farmers not being able to draw their input costs. And obviously this problem is also, you know, in the Northern Cape. So with all these three issues, I just want to ask the DG if there are any coordinated, you know, efforts between the department and the disaster management to engage and to address this funding gaps that, you know, that the country is dealing with, because at the moment, with this particular experience, is that Northern Cape now, as it was presented, is that Northern Cape was not able to use its own coffers to address the drought issues and only received their money now in July. And obviously these things are gonna really continue. They're not gonna stop. So the question to the DG is that, are there coordinated efforts to just really make sure that, you know, all these disaster fundings are addressed, you know, through maybe the World Bank or other, you know, source of funding, you know, where the government can really raise the support? Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Masipa. Honorable Mbat.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is a... I just want to ask the department to say yes, they know that this disaster is usually because of the high rains and the floods, and there's somewhere where they say that some of the farmers have got big farms that they notice the infestation of this brown locust at a very late stage. But I think they know that they are supposed to keep according to their outbreak response. It must be in place, and they must make sure that they keep the locust population below the threshold. So how are they educating the farmers to monitor regularly the farms, whether they are big or small, because this at the end affects not only their farms, because it these locusts, they move at a high speed, and the other thing, it can affect other farms nearby if one farmer didn't look after or monitor the this outbreak continuously. And the other thing is that these locusts, they can move to other areas, so the ones to other countries. So you mean this brown locust, they don't move to other countries. Is that what the department is telling us? And the other thing, according to my knowledge, if they are such pests that can move from one area to the other area, sometimes they are being transported in your bags, in your luggage, when you move from this area to another area, how best do they monitor that? Because it must be monitored, even when people are flying or they are selling their products from the one area to another area. How best do they make sure that they manage the outbreak of this locust? But the other thing that I want to check, most cases you use the chemicals to control this outbreak, the disaster. Are these chemicals environmental friendly? Because if they are not environmental friendly, they'll end up polluting or affecting the environment, and hence causes the problem to the community or the environment at large. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Mbatha. Now, Dr. Khakatsi, thanks for the brief presentation. In as much as we appreciate the control measures that you have put in place as a department, I think I share the sentiment that has been echoed by honorable members that one of the characteristics of this locust is that they are migratory. What is it that we are doing except relying on farmers' information to check that we contain them where they are in the three provinces currently and they don't spread? This takes me to the question of your interaction with other countries in the SADC. You clearly indicated that there are four species in Southern Africa and we are sitting with the brown locust echina here. The other one is that African migratory locust that is there. The very same brown one is it's possible when you look at research that Namibia and Botswana are arid areas that they can thrive at. But is there a coordination within these countries, the SADC, in making sure that you also are you participating in the preventative measures, in the controlling measures that will take you to ultimately what the massive indication that if there's a need, there will be funding, because nothing for sure stops this locust from being swamped at the moment. What is the position of your research and development in this regard? I peeped into researches that were done previously. I think the latest was around 2012, since 2002. And when you look at the thriving mechanisms that this brown locust, they take up to 17 years for sure. Now we will sit here with the three provinces. And when you look at the Northern Cape now, there's some researchers even term them the Karoo brown locust. The very same Northern Cape that we just bemoaned the drought in it. Now it has got over 10 districts, not 10 sub-districts, not 10 municipalities, 10 districts that are affected with about 174 farms. Hence, Honorable Mbabama says, can we get clarity? Where are these? Are these in your Springboks that Honorable Masipa read out the rainfall patterns that has drastically changed over these areas or where they are? So that as and when we do your plans, you are able to zoom into the problematic areas and we can know where we are seated, where are the pressure points in terms of this. So I just wanted to make those submissions to say your research and development, how far is it? Are these locusts not resistant to these chemicals that with time we'll see you coming back and saying they are now resistant, we are using this chemical and everything? Because with continuous research, we'll be able to pick that up. That will be my submission. Honorable Kapa, are you able to follow?
I'm following, Chair. Yes, I'm following.
The platform is yours. or you are fine?
I'm fine, Chair, for now.
Thanks, Honorable Kapa. Let me take it back to Dr. Khakati. Unfortunately, Karari Sadijadi Tia, Neritiba Ibizwa Tia, Neji, Wapili, this thing. Now, I don't know if we are still able to harvest it, but the other point that I left out is what the Honorable Member asked. What is the extent damage on the grazing, because currently you're saying it's only on grazing, it has not migrated to crops. What is the damage, the extent, as it has been alluded or asked earlier on? Dr. Khakazi, I'm giving you the platform, and your acting DG will close off.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks to the Honorable Member's question on the presentation. Maybe the first question as raised by Honorable Member Mato of affirming the work that we are doing, but we think we can still do more on strengthening the MNE or on the control measures. At the moment, we are working closely at national level and the farmers and self-organized agriculture, as they say. I know in the past we have been trying to have the province be fully part of this, and we think that in future we want to make sure that they are part of the management of this pest, and making sure that we are doing it policy-wise. As we said, we are mandated by the Act to make sure that we are implementing it, and we have those plans to assist us in doing it. And this policies and plans and procedures are really internationally compatible, that we are also working with our SADC as well as Africa. As a question of on the membership, we are members of our SADC pest control, and we have been monitoring even those the African desert one, the current one in Botswana, Zambia, where they've got funding to deal with the controls, and we are part of that, and we are also been monitoring the movement of those pests if they have to way of landing it. The current control of this pest, they are of migratory pests, the one that we have in brown locusts, Namibia and Botswana, yes, they're always coming from there and always having those linkage with our colleagues when we have the outbreak. But besides looking at the new ones, but because these eggs they can lie low dormant on the soil for years until maybe the conditions are there. So we always do those broader monitoring linkage to understand, and we are working closely with that broader international. The extent of the damage from Honorable Mbama, because the impact of or the time when they are really feeding is when they are still in the hopper stage, where they are really dangerous and damaging, and that's where we are controlling this pest. Yeah. You see when we link to Africa that they are already flying, and that's why maybe the challenges. But we are at the moment making sure that we control them before they when we look at what where we have control, it's not to say they've totally wiped the area, but we can still go back because I know the organized agriculture hasn't really said those things because we have been controlling. And they haven't said that in this area that we've controlled, the hoppers have cleared out the grazing. But I'm sure we get here still really be looked at when we are doing our MNE. So that one can still be reported back to the members of looking to exactly when where the control was, how large was it, the outbreak. The issue of looking at those in Africa when they are flying to say, they are having the challenge of controlling. Yes, when it's already flying, the challenge of controlling this locust is huge. That's why when following the experience that we had, we used to do this controlling them with helicopters. And then we went from the researchers done by our universities and other academic and both research organizations, that to say The best way to control it is to do this when they are still in the hopper stage and during this time and during this time. That's why when we are saying the morning, early morning and late afternoon, and then during the day, this is when we are doing the M&E. We then have to walk around and see where their movement and where they will be, and then we'll be doing the control. The usage of helicopters, so most of our pests, we're having the quailer control, we are using fully the helicopter. And I'm sure, including the black fly along the Orange River, we're also doing using the helicopters and the aircraft. So if ever it were maybe our control of clearing the hoppers couldn't do completely, and they now are able to fly, and there are many, the issue of making sure that we had the helicopters being appointed, I don't think that's not going to be a problem, because within this pest, because if we don't control it, it can be really disastrous. So what we have that agreement with National Tragedies, whatever you have as a national department, use your money, and then we'll then come back and see exactly what can be done. It's not like other disasters where you go on the ground and do assessment. This one is like, I'm sure maybe foot and mouth and others, because we must control, otherwise we'll be really in trouble. So we will have to make sure that the helicopters are available if ever we go to this stage. But for years, we have been making sure that we control them when they are still hopper stage, and we have been really able to succeed on those ones. We know that the currently now in Northern Cape, move to Western Cape, Eastern Cape, they can move to East, and that's why we are trying to control them before they hoppers, to avoid them moving into our maize triangle area in Free State. That we have been keeping there. They might move there, but we'll control them. But I'm just saying, Baba, we will have that helicopters be made available. Honorable Member Breda, maybe let's clear that correction on the 400 million. It's 4 million that was raised by Honorable Chair to say, comparing Northern Northwest 4 million on awareness to Limpopo 500,000, what are we doing? But that's acting DGS reported, but correction is not 400, it's 4 million on those issues. Extent of insecticide, yes, that's why we because the insecticides are very, very expensive, and the time of procuring them is take us too long. We need to make sure that we have them available, so that when we are doing a control, at least we can do them. Because we don't have this large amounts, they need to be imported outside internationally before we get them. So it takes a couple of months to have them. So we're having them ready as the stock starts to be depleted. We'll keep on making sure that we have enough that can take us through further. So, and we are doing that monetary information. And the good thing, someone might see why we succeed is, in the past, we were doing it on our own, and because this thing was happening with farmers, we then sit around with organizers, as they say, and now including AFASA and NAFU, to say, this is happening on the land, how can we do it? And because now we are paying them, they are sort of the work working for the government. There might be farmers, but they know when they are doing M&E, and if they have drought, they will pay them the time they are doing it. And that's why from them, because they are benefiting, that if they don't destroy them, it also maybe affect their land, and they know that they are benefiting. So we've come to the end that be part of us and making sure that assist us. Because of the partners of the land, we see now we are talking about 10 districts. The way we have the locust district, the way we have this district, I'm sure there are 51, 53, maybe my colleague will confirm it, 53 district locust control that we have demarcated it. And currently they are sort of centrally in that Eastern Cape, Western Cape and Northern Cape border. They are in that region, but the broader Western Northern Cape is 53 district of locust. That if there's that huge outbreak, we've got the teams on the ground. Each and every district, we've got people that can take us around. And the good thing is we are not using our government cars. They are using their own cars and we are paying them. And this is why we are able to succeed of dealing with it. The one is minor, the huge outbreak that we had that covered almost the entire Northern Cape was in 2010. because I know we're at national level, we're part of the assessment. Besides farmers doing this M&E also, we're having the two depots in DR and Appington centrally, where they are doing this M&E on daily basis to scouting if there's an outbreak. This also follows the research, because we're also looking at what the research was saying. Based on these temperatures, on this moisture, this might be coming up. So they will keep on scouting. All of the farmers around, wherever they are, they will also do that scouting of them. Even if the farms are large, they'll still go then and do that driving and whatever. They might miss up that outbreak. They might have seen it, but because we are paying them, even if they are going those, they'll always report, and our guys on the ground will go and monitor. We at national level also have that opportunity of going and making sure that we check at the end of that. So the broader issues we are doing it. Coordinated funding. At the moment, the migratory pests from our side, we think that we have been doing well. We haven't really looked at involving other, but we are working with them, like the earlier outbreak in Africa. They also wanted assistance from us, and we were planning with the minister to even take our insecticide up north, but the challenge was the approved insecticide in that area clearly was not compatible to us. But those how coordinated we are working with them closely. In the current funding that is being utilized in Zambia, Botswana, and Namibia, it's not really been enough to do that, but they are trying to. But because of now they are flying, that's now the huge challenge of, because it's moving more expensive to try to control them when they are flying. As I said, we are not relying on the farmers alone. We are also doing on our side. But because now the farmers, when we are doing these things, they are now workers. We don't consider them as farmers on their own. They are being paid to do that work. And we're also saying we are doing that coordination of in SADC. We are part of members of SADC, organization of Migrant Pest, that we are monitoring, and they're also communicating. Immediately when we hear the outbreak, because the pest, they are sort of moving based on the weather and climatic conditions. The Angola law, Botswana law, is normally the one driving them down into Northern Cape, and then they can circulate based on the circulation. The low pressure system and the high pressure system are the ones normally driving them. They can even drive them around in Gauteng and Mpumalanga and whatever based on the circulation, because the locust will that normally fly following the wind that's flying. And we are doing our controls based on the research. The 2012 we funded through was done also through the ARC, as well as the other organization that is funding the pest, also contributed in that information. So they were part of that, and we haven't really stopped of also investigating more to see what best practices can really improve where we are. We are not saying where we are, we have done 100%, but we can still improve to make sure that we got it right. Yes, the chemicals that we are using, yes, they are resistant to the environment. They are okay. They can not really affect the environment based on the research. These are under being registered within the country, the pests that are environmentally friendly. In the past, we have tried some of the chemicals. Some, yes, they were. Now resistance where the locusts were still surviving, and we are not using them. So we also monitor if that pest does now maybe being killed by this one. We'll then look at this the other one. So there is a couple of insecticides that we are using to control this. Yes, we've got resources to an extent. That's why we get this leeway from National Treasury to make sure that we immediately wipe this. It doesn't really to the extent of having a negative impact on the country. Monitoring is done regularly by farmers, by ourselves, on the ground, and to make sure that we get it right. I'm sure Acting DG will talk about that movement on travel There is also that monitoring at the airports of pest control. There is that component. You'll talk about it. And as I said, the insecticide we are using is the one that's been given a go ahead by our department to say within this country, this are insecticides that don't harm our environment and are friendly, and that's what we are using. So, Chairperson, we'll, as I said, the damage on the grazing, based on our control, it hasn't been to the extent of wiping it. Yes, I'm closing it. Yes, we'll come up to that and give you an extent after you've done further M&E. That was my last communique, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, Ekindiji. In 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to indicate that all the work that has been done here are subject to two acts within the department, the Agricultural Pest Act and also the Farm Feed Fertilizers Agricultural Remedies and Stock Remedies Act. One to control the pest and the other one to control all the remedies that we are using in controlling the pest. In the 2 minutes, let me try and respond to two issues that were raised. I think one was from Honorable Briet, requesting information around the African swine fever. Yes, we have got an outbreak. That outbreak was reported on the 27th of October. It's in the Randfontein area. There is current air control that we are having. There is an element of the department. We are currently also investigating possible deliberate act of contravening the current act that we have in terms of the Animal Diseases Act, that I can confirm. In terms of the issue that was raised around the coordinating mechanisms that we are having, just to ensure that there is money within the country, all the coordination around disasters in the country are dealt with within the National Disaster Management Center, which is under COCTA, and we do participate at that level and make inputs, Honorable Masipa. I think, Chair, Dr. Khakati, in terms of Honorable Babama, has indicated we will give our monitoring and evaluation reports, and that would conclude the responses that we have from this level. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. Ramaswadi. Honorable members, we then moving to the adoption of 3 sets of minutes that we have for today. You can be excused, Dr. Ramaswadi and your chief. Can the secretariat flight the minutes for us? We have 3 sets of minutes. That is minutes of the 20th October, 27th October, and the 3rd of November. Can we be assisted with that? Okay. Minutes of proceedings, portfolio committee of Tuesday, 20th October. They are there on the screen. Can we go to this minutes, page 1? That is the attendance register, page 2. Your opening welcome, summary of proceedings, attendance register and purpose of the meeting. It goes to presentation of the draft committee amendments. Page 3. Consideration of the A list and proposed amendments. Can we move? Our meeting adjourned at 11:30. Honorable members, are these the reflection of the minutes of the 20th?
So I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder? Thanks, Honorable Marshall.
I second the adoption of the minutes of the 20th, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mbabama. Matters arising. Let's move to page 1. That is your attendance registers. Page 2. Page 3. Mema, so is your hand up on matters arising, or you forgot to lower it?
Sorry, thank you. I forgot.
All right. Page 4. Nothing on that. That concludes that the minutes has been adopted. Can we move then to the second set? Ma'am, Kaisash. Page 1, that is the Tuesday, 27 October minutes on our screen. Attendance register. Page 2. Three. Four, members must draw my attention because I'm not being able to look at your participant list for your hands. I'm also looking at your screen. The meeting agenda at 11:15 without any further business to consider. Does this represent the proceedings of the 27th October, Honorable Members?
Yes, Madam.
Chairperson.
Honorable Mbata.
Can my surname be corrected? It's written Mbata. There's an H missing, even on the other set of minutes. It's written as Mbata. There's no, the H is missing there.
Noted, Secretariat, it is even red. It means your computer was alerting you there's a problem there. With that correction, Honorable Members, I'm putting the minutes before you for adoption.
Yes, Chair. My hands is up. Let's check also on the apology column. There is a red, what you call the they must check. Whether that red means that it's Nkata or Nkata. Thank you.
That's the English and the Isizulu there. They will verify. Are we adopting this minute?
I stand to move for the adoption of this minute with those corrections.
Thanks, Honorable Marshall. Any seconder? Dr. Kappa? Honorable Kappa, your hand is up. Unmute.
Yes, Chair. I second the move to adopt the minutes as the true reflection of our meeting.
Thanks, Honorable Kappa. Matters arising, we have already corrected on page 1. Let's move to page 2. Opening welcome summary of proceedings and attendance register.
page 3. Page 4. Nothing arising. This minute has been duly adopted. Thanks, honorable members. Can we then move to the last set of minutes of the 3rd November 2020? We are on the attendance registers on page 1. Please rectify that again, Honorable Mbatha's name, surname. We move into page 2. Page 3. That takes us to page 4 on committee resolutions. And the meeting adjourned at 10:54 without any further business to consider. Honorable members, I'm putting this minutes before you for adoption. Honorable Mark.
Yes, Honorable Chair, move for the adoption of this minutes.
Can I have a second? Thanks, Honorable Master. Any seconder for the adoption of minutes of the 3rd November 2020? Honorable Kappa?
Yes, Chair. I second the move to adopt the minutes of the 3rd as a true reflection of our minutes.
Thanks, Honorable Kappa. Can we check matters arising, Honorable Members? On page 1, let's then move to page 2. Take us to page 3. Page 4, Dr. Kappa, you have anything on page 3?
Yes, I was saying on page 3, and maybe that can be checked for me, where I see something pretty cool. I don't know whether it's misspelling of pretty cool.
Chibuku.
No, it's Chibuku.
Chibuku.
Okay, got it.
Don't
okay.
Traditional BS.
Okay.
We are at page 4 now.
Okay.
Those are committee deliberations. Without anything arising that, this minutes has been duly adopted to members. I thank you for that. Let me also take the opportunity to thank you for allowing me to facilitate this meeting today and the secretariat team for helping us and everybody who attended this meeting. I've noted the research and that Temuabi, you always with us. We thank your presence always. Honorable members, this meeting stands adjourned. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well done.
Well done, my dear. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Mbata, I can take some of my aces. I don't need the aces in Kappa. Honorable Mbata, I can take an ace there.
Mbata can take what, Papa? Honorable Masipa, how are you? Masipa, you mutile. Go well, Papa Kappa. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Where is Liu meeting?